Salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I gotta tell you, before we even get started here today, I need 4 hours today. I wish I had 4 hours. But I want to acknowledge something before we do. Somebody emailed me the other day, and they asked me this question. Say, Coach, where do you come up with all these ideas? Boy, Coach, you must be under a lot of pressure to put on a good show. And, you know, I thought for a minute, and I thought, golly, I never felt pressure to put on a good show, ever. Never, ever. And I don't wake up middle of the night and worry, what are we going to talk about in the morning? And I fill myself up with the Word of God. I do some research on it. You guys have got to admit, the last 2 days of this show, I'm in the middle of it with all of you guys, is mind-blowing. The last 2 days is mind-blowing, in my humble opinion, not so humble opinion, from a Christian perspective. And I want you to know, very little of it was scripted. Very little of it was scripted. And I trust every day that when we come down here, that the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth. Now, again, you don't have to agree with what I lay on the table. We lay it on the table for discussion. But I know this, man. Oh, I got to be careful. Lord, do I have to say that?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I mention the incredible synergy between you and Jared? I wanted to say yesterday that the synergy that you guys showed. You just like you said, you don't plan to show out. It just happens, but it's awesome. I got to tell you, really, I put on the program yesterday. I wasn't here, but this show should be on TV. Okay,
it should be on TV. It is unbelievable, isn't it? I'm telling you, it is, and it doesn't.
I'm blessed to be here.
Thank you, brother. It doesn't have anything to do with me other than I'm the guy that's sitting here. But the issues that we are talking about are so relevant and so important to where we are today and where the church is today and why the church is the one that's responsible for all this mess that's gone on. It is so clear to me. And I got it. Oh, Lord. I'm just going to say it real quick. I got, hey, Jared, Google right now. I'm just going to follow the Spirit. Google Simon Owen professional golf. Simon Owen is in, there he is. He's in New Zealand. Can you get his face up on there? Simon Owen finished second to Jack Nicklaus in the 1980-something British Open. Simon Owen and some of his buddies over there is a loyal follower of the show. He doesn't get in here in the queue every day, but I often hear from him. And he just mailed me. We've been in communication the last... I'm just going to lay it out there, okay? We've been in communication the last, over a couple months. He says, Coach, we have to dig deeper into that. But Mark, is Mark Trump in here? Mark Trump, I want to credit him because he taught me something that is so, so important. And that is that when you read the Bible, we don't read it linearly. In other words, you don't read the Bible from the front to the back. You do, but that's one dimension, right? If you go left and right, that's horizontal. Trump said, no, Coach, read it deep, top to bottom. The Bible needs to be read top to bottom because there's so much data in there. And I've come to the realization over the last nearly 3 years we've been doing this show, I've been taught, Roger, get ready to give me a thumbs up. I've been taught to just read this Bible front to back. I've never been taught to go deep in it. Nobody ever really sat me down and said, listen, you got to study this, man. You got to go a little bit deeper. Nobody ever really ever did that. In fact, you know what the worst part of it was? I went to church and I trusted the pastor to do the one that did the digging for me. He did the excavating and he fed me what he wanted me to know. Now, I'm not saying he did it in a malicious way. That is not my intention at all. But I can't hardly go and sit in a church service right now and a pastor begin to talk that I don't want to stop him and go deeper. Say, stop a minute. Stop. And how about this? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You have any idea how much data and depth there is just to that very first sentence? In the beginning. Beginning of what? Beginning of how and who and when? God created. How did he do it? And what did he create? What did he use? Just data, 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 data. And we've been taught just not to read this as a We've been taught to read the Bible as a life manual. Oh my goodness. It's so much deeper than that. Life manual. And Simon, I'm not trying to make you star of the show here. What would it be like to play golf with Jack Nicklaus? Almost beat him. Simon's been talking to me about, been emailing, says, Coach, you got to go deeper on the name of God, the meaning of the name. The names are important. And he said, revolutionize my life. And then Simon just mailed me yesterday this. I got to get into it. I'm just going, hey, you guys do what you want to with it. I haven't dived into it yet. I don't even know. So the Sefer, look at all this. Look at the depth of this book. I'm going to read right off. Jared, maybe you can get Simon off the screen there. Go to Sefer.com, Sepher.com. I think it's .com. There it is. .net, Jared. I'm sorry, .net. Sefer, a comprehensive restoration of sacred scripture in the English language. And this Sefer is, they change the words on us. We all love the King James Version, right? We all love that King James, but unfortunately, can you just bear with me a minute? I'm not talking about whether the King James is the inspired word of God or not. Can we imagine what it was like however many years ago when they tried to take the Bible out of Hebrew and Greek and into English? What kind of technology did they have to do that, do you suppose? Was it just a passing of letters? Did some guy mail a letter and you had to wait 3 weeks and you got a letter and an answer to your question? And so these scholars are sitting down. Imagine them sitting in a room, but they didn't have electric lights, right? They're sitting in a room with candles maybe. And they're studying the Greek and the Roman and they're trying to take this scripture and they're trying to put it in. And so we come up with the King James Bible, although we know without any question that there have been alterations to the King James Bible. There were books that were once included that are not in there anymore. They're not. And so because Simon sent me the book, which is, it's the Bible, but it's not the Bible set up. Well, here's what it says on that little strap that comes around it. Simon sent me this from New Zealand. Do you believe it? Here's what it says. It sets forth a translation rather than a substitution of names for the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The guys who translated the English changed the names a little bit. Includes the Aleph Tav over 10,000 times previously omitted in other language translations. The name Aleph Tav, beginning and the end, transliterates over 3,100 Hebrew names without substitution. Calls them by their original names. Includes all of the 81 previously canonized books. It includes all of the previously canonized books, some which have been taken out, right? Plus another 6 books considered to be inspired and or historically significant. Enoch's in it. Jubilees is in it. These are found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Jasher is in it. 4 Ezra, 2 Baruch. Additions to Esther from 87 books in total presented in chronological order. Wow. I haven't dug into it yet. If I come up missing, it's because I'm under a tree somewhere reading it. It features charts of the sacred names, paleo and modern Hebrew letters and their meaning, and a Hebrew to English translation of the most common names and places found in Scripture.
Hey, Coach.
And one more search includes original maps of the Holy Land, family history pages, and much, much more in this book. Yes, Serge?
I was just wondering if Jerry could put the book back up.
Thanks. There it is. So there's the website, sefer.net. Listen, folks, I try to do this. I try to lay stuff out on the table, and I don't know enough about it yet. But I spent some time on that web page yesterday, that one right there, reading some of that stuff. It just absolutely blew my mind. It blew my mind. And it blew my mind because a couple different reasons. I've realized how dependent you and I have been on the man standing in the pulpit. And I also realized this. The man standing in the pulpit is a man of flesh just like me.
Amen. Puts and he could have, same way you and I do.
That's right. And although he may have gone to Bible school and he can do the hermeneutics and he can do all that kind of stuff, really, when it gets right down to it, it's the same Holy Spirit in him that's in me. Or dare I say it, I have the Holy Spirit that some of them don't even have. Can somebody say amen on that? And it's the Holy Spirit that guides us to all truth,
amen.
Right?
Amen, brother.
It's not some book. The book's important. The book guides us to truth, but it's not just totally in the book. That's why it says to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so I just wanted to, before I get too deep in it, I've not read it, Simon, but I just want to thank you, brother. It says here, retail price, $95. I don't know if he paid that much for it or not. Probably can get it cheaper somewhere online. But he's mailed it to me from New Zealand. And I just want you to know, Simon, that I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. You guys do know, right? You do know this. Enoch used to be part of the Bible. He used to. Why isn't it anymore? Jubilees used to be part of the sacred scripture. Why is it not anymore? And are you hearing that in your church? If you went to your pastor and say, Pastor, what do you think about the book of Jubilees? Oh, no, no. Right? Yeah. How does he know? Well, he heard it in some Bible school. Huh? Well, how does he? Where did those guys in Bible school? Well, they heard it from somebody else. Yeah. Just like here in America, they tell us there's a separation between the church and state, even though there isn't. Somebody started the lie, then they played telephone and they repeated it. And here we are 60 years removed from 1947. And the separation between the church now is believed by every American there is, right? So lies can be perpetuated, not perpetuated on purpose, but that's how rumors start. That's how rumors start. Rush Limbaugh said yesterday, I thought this was fascinating, that 65% of Democrats, they've done a study, 65% of Democrats believe the Russians changed votes in the American election. 65% of Democrats believe that. Now you say, how can they? There is no evidence that that was ever done yet. How can 65% of Democrats believe that? Well, they've been hearing it over and 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 over again, and now it's fact. Separation between the church and state, it's fact. You're not allowed to pray in school, it's fact. You're not allowed to take Bradley Dean into the school, it's fact. Why? Somebody said it. Somebody repeated it. Nobody stood up and pushed back against it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What's that? What's the famous line from the Nazi that said something about propaganda?
Imagine
you tell it enough. It's a truth or something like that.
It was Himmler, I believe. If you try to tell a lie loud enough and often lie, it soon becomes the truth. There it is.
And that's exactly what's going on here.
Joe Goebbels said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes virtually important for the state to use all of its power to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. Wow. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. So they're still after Trump. Can anybody tell me how can Hillary Clinton not be in jail? How can they talk about Russian collusion and not talk about Hillary Clinton?
Still believes that Russia had
your microphone in. Some I don't hear you very well, sir, for some reason. Boy, this isn't where I went to go, but you with me? Y'all with me here today? Now let me, I got so much I want to get into. But I think it's significant that we pull up Lowell's notes from yesterday. Somebody asked Lowell, hey, Lowell, would you give and send us a copy of your notes? And I'm wondering, Lowell, do you sit down and take notes every day?
Probably half the time or more.
It's amazing. Because, see, you know what? I go back. I don't even remember what we talked about. It's sad. Because the last two, in particular, ought to go to Limbaugh's branch of the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. They ought to go to the Christian Hall. They're unbelievable. And I read this. Lowell sent these out. Folks, if you'd like to have a copy of them, email us. Say, hey, send me those. I'd like to have those. Lowell sent us. He did a little bit of extra work, maybe of tightening them up and having them make some sense. But from yesterday's show, Lowell made these notes. Fact, scripture. This is a fact. God made the earth. Man was given the earth and everything in it. Man chose his woman, following Satan, and retained him as counselor, not God. In other words, man chose woman over God. Lord, I never thought about that. That's the truth, isn't it? Eve was misled by the devil. Adam, who knew God, chose his wife over God. It took us down the wrong path. Therefore, man had then become allied with Satan in his rebellion against God. Man now was on Satan's side. Fact, both were cast from God's presence. Research, the Nephilim became a way for fallen angels to access earthly, physically, easily. Research, did these hybrids become new souls to build the satanic army? But, fact, Jesus takes earth back. Jesus buys earth back. Did you ever think about that? The wages of sin is death. So when we forfeited the earth, what did Jesus have to do? He had to go buy it back. And he did. As a man, Jesus dies on the cross and reclaims the earth. My goodness. He reclaims the earth. He bought it back. He legally owns it. Man.
First, before that, Coach, it was the purpose that he had, the Immaculate Conception had to take place, because it was the seed of man that went into all men. That's mm-hmm. why Jesus was born from the Spirit of God that broke that sin.
Had to be a perfect seed, a perfect sacrifice. Had to be a direct seed from God, right? So God himself laid down his life to buy it back. Well, this is too deep, Mark. The Holy Spirit then should inoculate us versus demons. Was it David Arthur? Somebody I was listening to the other day. This guy is so true. I'm sorry if I credited the wrong guy. The closer you get to God, the less power the devil has on you. If you are close to God, the devil can't even touch you. We get in trouble when we wander away from God.
Amen.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. If you are uptight and walking with Christ, the devil's got very little influence. I thought, folks. Okay. Probable, Lowell says. Not all Nephilim DNA was destroyed, because Goliath was after the flood, wasn't he? Do the progeny become Satan's army as well? So Lowell's conclusion, he said. The Great Commission, wow, Lowell, this is good, really good. The Great Commission is prosecuting God's renewed title to earth through Jesus and his saints. The Great Commission is taking back what God won back. We have to go claim it and take it back. We are an insurgency until his return. Remember, I've been saying we are we're counterculture, baby. We're counterculture. Yes. Yes. Anybody want to say anything yet? Okay. Fact, scripture. The world is ours to reclaim. Despite what they tell you about us being raptured out of here, the world is ours to reclaim by Jesus' birth, execution, and resurrection. The earth It is finished. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. This world is now ours to reclaim because Jesus legally bought it back. Wow. Jesus said, woman, behold, woman, I have made all things new. New sheriff in town. And then he said on the cross, it's finished. What's finished? For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, he would destroy the works of the devil. Wow, man. Hang on with me here. So we can assert or repeat then, man alienated the title to Satan. Man was supposed to keep the earth, to nourish it, to replenish it. That's what our job was. And what happened? We gave the title to Satan. It's like your kid. People die and they leave an inheritance to their children, and in two generations, all the money's gone. So God came back and said, I bought it. It's mine. I'm buying it back. I'm telling you guys, does anybody see anything that's not scriptural here yet? Jesus said that he owns it all. So Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. He owns it all. Amen. He now has the legal title again. Roger, are you hearing this in church?
Oh my goodness. Don't make me chuckle.
No, we're just passing through. This world's not our home. Even though we're going to come back and set up a 1,000-year millennial reign, even though the Bible says he's not coming back to it, puts all of his enemies under his feet, makes his enemies his footstool. Come on, dudes! I'm glad I didn't go to cemetery. Yeah.
We have a room up in the mansion in heaven that we need to go to.
We do. That's right. But we're just passing through, brother. Jesus wins in the end. Fact, scripture, God gave earth to Adam, who then gave the title to Satan. My. Hey, Roger, think about this. When Jesus is tempted, what is Satan promising? He said, you just follow me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all that stuff. And Jesus is just chuckling because Jesus knows inside, no, dude, you don't understand. We're about to take it back. I'm not going to bow to you and get all these. No. We're in the process of taking it back yet. You just don't know the plan. So God gave the earth to Adam, who's alienated the title by following Satan. He said so. So Jesus, God, as a man, God, had the right to reclaim the heritage as both man and maker. It's like your father coming in and reclaiming the property after you petered away. It was rightfully his in the beginning, and he's coming back legally, and he's going to go and he's going to apply the blood, which is currency, pay the price. It's mine again. It'd hold up in a court of law, wouldn't it, Raj? Wow, my goodness. So God gave it, but most of man is still complicit with Satan in rebellion against God. Is that ever the truth? Most men are not in relationship with God. God owns it all. They're not in relationship with God. They're complicit with Satan. So therefore, Satan still owns it all. He doesn't own it all. He's a squatter. Satan and his allies are trespassers, Lowell said. Illegal immigrants. Oh, my goodness. Lol. So here's another fact in scripture. Jesus commanded us to hang on to my stuff till I get back.
There's that word.
Yeah, occupy until I come. He didn't say occupy till I rapture you out. He says, relax, boys. We win in the end. You know what I'm saying? You won't find that. That's something some 6-foot icicle may have told you, but you don't find that in scriptures. He comes back, man, in righteousness. He's going to judge. He's going to make war. He's going to establish his kingdom here for 1,000 years, right here, not up there. Oh, Lord. So the intent, keep the base of operations safe or expand it for the total reconquest. When Christ returns, leading and to lead his army of saints in this world to subdue Satan and his allies physically, not just spiritually. I'm with you, Lowell. But how about this one? This made me chuckle, Lowell. Satan is still Lord of this world by acclaim. He just says he is. And we agree with him that he is. Even though Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. I've done it. It's finished. I've reclaimed it all. Satan sits up and says, I own this place. And the church says, yep, he owns this place. Yep, he sure does. That's all right, boys. We'll soon be out of here. We'll be heading on to another place. It's okay. Satan owns this place. We're just passing through. We're just warfarers. I can't even say the word. We're just passing through. And Lowell said, huh, let's vote his ass out. Let's vote Satan's ass out. Scripture, John 8, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Scripture, John 3:16, Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be reclaimed. Hey, the world might be, thank you, that Holy Spirit just hit me. So let's think about the rich guy who leaves the inheritance to his children go out and spend it, and dad flies back into the last minute to do what? To save the family jewels. Satan was trying to take it, and the Lord, God came back and saved it. Oh, my goodness. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him is going to be reclaimed from the dark side. Oh, this is daggone. I'll start a church.
But the men love their darkness. In other words, men chose darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil.
They keep playing on the wrong team, don't they, Dale? And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go to them and say, hey, dude, you're on the wrong team. You're on the wrong team. We're not supposed to go and tell them God loves everybody. We're supposed to go tell them you're on the wrong team. And we got to get them on our team. We have to conquer them. Oh, boy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was thinking that's why the parable of the talents is kind of like the church is the guy with the one talent. We bury it thinking that, you know, he's a real hard taskmaster, and that if I, you know, while the others went out and built it, and that's what God wants us to do with his kingdom is expand it. And to grow it and to develop it.
That's how we conquer. That's how we conquer. We don't submit to. He's a squatter. Satan is an illegal immigrant. So he says in Ephesians, there's a full armor, salvation, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and truth. The word is the truth. The word of God, the truth, is our sword and our offensive weapon. You remember me telling you we have to defeat them on the secular battle first. The truth is the suspension belt on which the offensive and defensive weapons are carried.
Matthew 11. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and forceful men take it and lay hold of it.
Amen. Well, they're not preaching that in most churches, are they? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Violence means what? It's been violated. The kingdom of God has been violated. As a squatter, there's an illegal immigrant. There's a mullah in charge. And what does it say? They took it. And so what? We're going to take it. They took it. We're taking it back.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Coach, you know, and so much of this escapism and we win in the end, all that, it's rooted, if you look historically, it's rooted, the guy, he was a Catholic Jesuit named Francisco Ribera, and I challenge anyone to Google him, look him up, and understand where this rapture, this hey, we win in the end, that everything's way out in the future. Study that, because when this stronghold comes down, Coach, and people at large start seeing the lie that we've bought into, I think they'll realize that, no, it's like our forefathers believed, if we're going to conquer evil and overcome evil, it's us, it's we Christians in this generation that are going to do it, not somewhere out in the future we win. Francisco Ribera, Catholic Jesuit.
Jesus said that he would make his enemies a footstool. Are we supposed to assume that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if he were in America today, he would be bowing his knee to the Supreme Court of the United States? Are we really to believe that? Are we really to believe that Jesus Christ himself would go to the Supreme Court and say, well, boys, you know, I disagree with you, but, you know, you're the Supreme Court and we're supposed to follow the law. So, okay, go ahead. Yeah, what? And do we carry within us the spirit of Almighty God? Is the spirit, are we Christ's representatives here and now? And if so, what is wrong with us?
Well, I believe, Coach, it's Psalm 2. He's going to smash them with a rod of iron like earthen vessels clay, right?
Well, in
that's
the
what
end,
would happen.
In the end, we win in the end. Meanwhile, kids are being ravaged by homosexuality. Our government's out of control. We have the Justice Department of the United States totally and completely ignoring collusion between Hillary and Russia. It's not that they don't know. It's not that they don't know it. They're just totally ignoring it, right? Let's say Trump colluded. Okay, let's say he colluded, right? Well, what about Hillary? Didn't she do it? Isn't what's good for the goose good for the gander? Can't you see what's going on?
And right, why it's right in our faces. It's disgusting.
It's right in front of our faces. But why won't a Christian stand up? Oh, I know why. This is not our home. We're just passing through.
Coach, we even misquote that to sit there and saying, in the end, we win. No, that's not true. In the end, he wins. Amen. That doesn't necessarily say that we win. He Amen. Does. He's going to subject all enemies underneath his feet. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, but not us.
Yep. So let me shock you. I believe this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just kind of parallel what George was saying earlier about, you know, it talks about the great falling away. You know, once these religious systems are pulled down, people are going to have to make a decision. And some people are going to say, well, it's all a lie, so I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to go ahead and just do what I want to do. So I think that's where the great falling away happens, when all that starts to be revealed.
I'm with you, man. Did you know this? I thought I put in my notes today. I'm just going to throw this out there for you. 6,000 churches a year close in America. 100 a week. 100 a week. Now, I'm not going to take a position on this. Is that good or bad?
Hey, Coach.
Larry.
You know, that thing that Lowell put together.
We're not done with it either, by the way, Lowell. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That whole message there can be boiled down to one verse. Faith without works is dead.
Amen. If we're, you know, I play for the Cleveland Browns, except I never play. I'm never out on the field. I'm a member of the Browns. It's like my son, he's a Bengals fan. He came in the other day because the Browns played the Bengals. I like the Browns. He likes the Bengals. Browns beat the Bengals. He comes in and says, you guys shouldn't have beat us. And I said, us? What do you mean us? The Bengals. Dude, you play for the Bengals? What do you mean us? And that's the church, isn't it? Us. No, sorry, dude. The us is the ones that are playing on the field. We're the us. Let's go back to Lowell Jared real quick. Folks, I need 7 more hours. Let's finish this up because this is really important. Yeah, Raj.
But, you know, these churches, everybody's having a prayer meeting. And I like what Larry said. None of them ever have an action meeting.
Ever. 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 Never. So the Lowell says, the word is our sword and our offensive weapon. The truth is the suspension belt upon which all the other weapons are on. The boots of peace provide the peace of knowing we are God's own. The boots enable us to hold our ground by digging in when we're pushed. Think about that. Or move quickly and surely over rough ground in an attack. And then he adds this comment. Well, I've never thought of this. Boots of the gospel of peace appears to be misunderstood as pacifism, preaching peace. Given Paul's Roman citizenship and knowledge of a legionary's panoply, Paul would know the Romans' hobnailed boots protected the feet from both the spears, which were thrust from above, and from the broken ground underneath. Paul knew what boots were. He understood the importance of boots. They weren't just Crocs that you put on your feet. They were military-style boots. And Paul certainly knew when pushed, legionaries would dig in their toes and press and lean forward. Get a foothold. You ever heard that? We had to get a foothold. In attack, they advanced protected from stones and dropped weapons. They needed boots because they were going somewhere and doing something. They weren't just fluffy Crocs. In fact, I got some on today. Those fluffy ones with fur on the inside. That ain't what they were wearing. So, fact, scripture. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You comment? Most churches are not churches at all. Amen, Lowell. They are collaborators. Whizzling. Vichy French. Tories. Copperheads. Most churches. They're in partnership with the devil. Comment, the saints in the areas we influence and control, God also controls. Lowell, that is profound. Where the saints are in control, God is in control. And where the saints aren't in control, the devil's in control. We are the beachhead. It must be expanded, excuse me, secured, enlarged, no surrender. Normandy Beach. We're on Normandy Beach, boys and girls. The areas controlled by the unsaved, those taking counsel of Satan, still control theirs. They control their areas. And the Lord doesn't want us to coexist with them, to live side by side with the evil ones. No. The frontier between the two, the good boys and the bad boys, the Normandy Beach, is where we come into conflict. And sparks should fly. We want that neutral ground, baby. They're after our kids. Do we want our kids? Well, we ain't fighting for them because we win in the end. Conclusion. The Christ is God saying, I'll be back. No, it's God saying, hey, boys, new sheriff in town. I'm back. I'm back. I'm among you. I'm in you. Let's go take our kingdom back. Come home. Join me and conquer. Free the world from religion, which, by the way, was one of the main reasons he came. Pull on your boots, gear up, and bring peace to the earth. Lord, that is unbelievable. Profound.
Amen.
My church.
What's that, Serge?
I love my church. This is great. Thanks, Lowell.
This is amazing. It is amazing. Hey,
this is the work product. This is all your guys' contributions.
Sure. Yes,
that's
it
what
is.
I put in the cover note. TZ asked for my notes. And then it just occurred to me, everything that Roger says, that Dale says, that Larry says, that Coach adds in. I mean, this is our product, guys. This is the conclusion that I'm seeing has come to.
Amen. I believe it. And Lo, I believe it more than anything ever, that he is preparing us for something. I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. But I believe that he is. I want to show you.
Noel, thank you for being the court reporter and putting all this together. We are the Ecclesia.
Is anybody taking notes like this out there? Man, if you are, I'd sure love to have them. I don't know what I would do with them.
Noel makes my notes look like chicken scratch.
Yeah. Okay, so let me, how much time I got? Oh, geez. All right, it's good. It's Friday. Flea Flicker Friday here. Founders, you guys know what Founders is. Remember I told you the Founders closed? Founders was the abortion clinic we all went to, and it closed. Remember that? And then they went down the street, and they opened it back up. They opened up Founders again down at opened up another place down there. And then Founders reopened. I don't know if you guys know all this, but they can't do surgical abortions. They can only do chemical abortions, yada, yada, yada. Well, the most amazing thing happened. Founders is closed again. For good. You know why? You ready for this one, Weave? They've been illegally selling Viagra from Founders. Not making it up. Not God is my witness.
Just stop it. You're kidding.
No, I'm not. They've been caught selling counterfeit Viagra, and their license has been revoked.
Wow.
They were just trying to create job security so they'd have more business.
That's right. See, but you know why? Because Michelle, my sweet little wife, Michelle, has been, her song all week has been this. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Now listen, guys, here's the good news. This hit me this morning as well. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, including all the good things that you've done. You don't go around blowing your own horn, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're doing good things, it's going to be revealed. No matter what they say against you, no matter how they accuse you, in the end, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It encouraged me that whether Donald Trump's a good guy or a bad guy, whether or not he plays for the other team or not, doesn't matter. The Lord's in control. And ultimately, as we always say, it doesn't matter what Donald Trump does. It matters what Lowell Morrison does and what Roger Weaver does, what Brian Cunningham does.
That's awesome news, Coach.
Huh? Isn't that awesome? It matters what Coach. Hang on a second, Dale. I don't get up in the morning and wait to see what Trump's done. I'm sorry. I don't. Go ahead, Dale.
Coach, it just came to my heart. I mean, that's so awesome. You know, I'm so excited for that, man. The Lord showed me, just go salt the property. And it brings me back to when Planned Parenthood had just bought the property down here in New Orleans to build that 8,000 square foot center. Bill Shanks, I, and Rusty Thomas, we went on there with a big bag of salt. We salted that property. That day, I mean, devils manifested. People were screaming down the street. The police pulled up on the property. But, brother, we knew we were doing what the Lord told us to do. And to this day, 10 years later, that abortion clinic has not chemically or one baby.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I mean, it's fairly amazing in my not so humble opinion. See, here's what's going on, folks. Jared, I want to do this real quick. I want you guys to know when you talk, I listen. Okay, I hear what you say, and I don't always respond because when you're saying something, the Holy Spirit's saying something else to me. So when somebody makes a profound statement, I hear it, but I'm moving. Okay, so don't take it wrong. Say, well, God, he didn't even respond to Dale. I heard it, Dale. I heard it. What am I? Jared, go to, see, America's an oligarchy, folks. We're an oligarchy. Jared, go to Webster's real quick. Oligarchy. I'm going to show you something. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Oligarchy. Oligarchy. Well, see, it doesn't come up as oligarchy. It comes up as oligarchical. I watch it. Going to have to click again here in a second, Jared. So it says, don't you hate it when dictionaries do this, pertaining to oligarchy or government by a few. So it says, well, I better click on oligarchy. Let's click on oligarchy. What's an oligarchy? Well, it's a form of government which the supreme power is placed in the hands of a few hands, a species of aristocracy. By the way, Can you say church? The church is an oligarchy. What's an oligarchy? Well, it's a form of government in which the supreme power is placed in a few hands. A pastor, associate pastor, elder board, and the rest of the people just sit there and do exactly what we do in the world. We have the president, the Supreme Court, the senators, and the Congress, and they all tell us what to do. And meanwhile, those who are in power are getting all the goodies. Wow. See, Lord, help our eyes to see and understand that the world, we're in a fallen world right now. And what we can't, what the church can't wait to copy the world. We can't wait. We see something that works in marketing in the world, we bring it into the church. Who does? Well, the leadership, the oligarchy. I got to ask you something. What good does a big church do you? You go sit in Joel Osteen's church with 10,000 other people? What good does that do you? Joel's in charge and all these other people, and Joel talks about what he wants to talk about. He don't talk about what you want to talk about. He tells you how you, what the Bible tells you you're supposed to do. That isn't the way it's supposed to do. By the way, separation between the church and state. Well, who says that? Some oligarchy, some governmental system that controls the people, an oligarchy. Have you ever noticed that when you watch the Trump hearings or whatever you want to call that thing that Mueller's doing, how the hell can he get away with doing this? You ever watch, whenever they're talking about Trump has been working with some Russian oligarchs, do your antenna go up and say an oligarch, a Russian oligarch? What does that mean? Oh, that'd be like somebody important, like in America, like, I don't know, Bill Gates, he'd be an oligarch. George Bush, he'd be an oligarch. The Clintons, why, they'd be oligarchs.
Call them capitalists here.
I'm sorry?
Call them capitalists here.
Yes! They're all oligarchs. Hey, but the church is an oligarchy too, yes.
Coach, you know, I think something we've gotten away from for many years now is, as the Apostle Paul said, we're only supposed to follow a man as they're following Jesus Christ. And I believe in my spirit here this morning, that's where God is getting us back to. It's no longer going to be hero worship, following a political leader, following a religious leader. It's going to be following someone as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's what Paul said to do. Follow me as I follow Christ, right? So let me show you something here. I'm going to get all these in because tomorrow's Saturday and Saturday's going to be Saturday. Pull up Ann Coulter, Jared. Pull her up.
Well, Coach, while you're pulling that up, understand this, the importance of the no name of the people of the church. Real good question here. How many times did Paul visit the church in Ephesus? Brother, he was never there. He never had the opportunity to go there. Yet here we have this letter from the church at Ephesus that was planted. It was one of the most flourishing churches in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the people, the common people, they rose up and they became the leaders.
Look what,
it wasn't based on Paul.
Hey, my Catholic friends, what the hell's going on with the Pope and the Catholic hierarchy? Oh, pardon me, the Catholic oligarchy. What is going on? Wake up, will you? You wake up. I ran into a guy who's a Catholic. I said something about the Pope. He says, oh, he's not really Catholic. I'm thinking, well, what the hell then?
Hey, hey Coach.
Can't mix crack and religion, brother. Don't work.
Hey, I hope everybody caught what Dale just said. He's right. The people are not rising up. I just got finished reading Matthew Turrell's book, okay, The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates.
Right,
and how it talks about interposition.
But the problem is that when somebody interposes, you know, if you have a lesser magistrate that interposes, if the people don't stand up and back them, it right. goes nowhere. A good case in point is Judge Roy Moore with the Ten Commandments. Okay. Nobody backed him.
No, and the church retreated.
And so they threw him out.
They retreated and prayed, right? They didn't publicly yes. stand up and support him. The oligarchy in the church wouldn't support it. Too controversial. We're going to tell you what we do, what we don't do. We don't care what all of you think. We're in control. We don't want to make waves. Got to read my commentary from yesterday, Glenn. Safe in the cage.
Hey, listen, Coach, I just sent it out to about 100 people.
Yeah, safe in a cage. That's us, right? David Arthur did a good show on that yesterday, by the way. Ann Coulter. Scroll down here, Jared. Some profound things in here Ann Coulter said yesterday. I'm on church. A New York Times bestselling author and populist conservative economist Ann Coulter said the Republican Party is at the point of extinction. Coulter said, I have very little hope for our country, for the country. It's going to be bad. It's going to be Brazil. We're about to lose Texas and Florida. Those elections were razor thin. And every day, more and more immigrants turn 18 and start voting, canceling out all of your votes. It's about five more years. Trump will be the last American Republican president. While Coulter blasted Trump on immigration thus far, scrolling down, Jared, noting that a border wall still hadn't been built, she says this. They've been bragging about, ha, 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 we changed the demographics. The Democrats are saying it. And idiot Republicans are running around arguing about the import-export bank or even abortion. Look, abortion's important, she says. But you lose everything conservatives, whatever you think is the most important issue, gun rights, abortion, anything the Supreme Court does, anything that Congress does. If you never have another Republican president or not, I might add, and another Republican senator House, I mean the demographics that changed have already flipped California. They're about to flip Texas. They're about to flip Florida and various other states, smaller states. And we're just at the point of extinction without a shot. All of our votes are being canceled out by immigrants, 80% of whom vote, block vote the Democrats. Wow. There we go. Church. Stand up, church. Stand up, church. Church won't even tell people to have babies. We won't even tell them that.
Congratulations, church. This is your doing.
This is what the Protestant churches need to understand. The immigrants are predominantly Catholics that are hostile to a Protestant worldview.
Man, Lord, that gone. Boy, nothing hidden. Okay, one more thing. I'm gonna be done here. Jared, pull up Owen Schroyer. You know, we went down to Austin, Texas, and we stood outside the Planned Parenthood with Austin Schroyer. InfoWars and all that stuff. And I know you guys didn't see this because, of course, there's never any media there. Owen Schroyer, this is 8 minutes, but we're not going to play it. Owen Schroyer showed up at the Austin City Council and his public 3 minutes. He asked them, why the heck are they letting Planned Parenthood rent that building rent-free? Why are they doing it? This is a powerful 3 minutes. I'll say this about this guy. He's got some stones. Owen Schroyer at 28, 29, whatever it is, he's got some stones. I have hope, folks. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Just 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
This is Owen Schroyer for InfoWars.com. I am in front of the Austin City Council building where I am set to speak, where they have public communications here. And I'm going to bring up a big issue of Planned Parenthood getting a government-owned property to rent for $1 a year. Now, this has been going on since 1972. They just voted to extend this for up to 40 years, a major advantage for Planned Parenthood. But that's not all there is to the story. So I went to City Council today to raise awareness for this. I gave them all the facts. Let's see how it went.
Thank you, Mayor Adler, the members of the City Council present today. Mr. Renteria, last time I saw you, you were illegally campaigning outside of a polling place. That's not what I'm here to talk about today. What I'm here to talk about today is a giant pay-for-play scam, at the very least, happening in the state of Texas and Austin. This month, this city council voted to once again allow Planned Parenthood to rent government-owned property for free or $1 a year. This property is valued at a fair market price per year of $110,000. This property is also about to receive renovations with a price tag of $1.2 million. This property had a bidder, Austin Life Care, who made a fair market bid to rent the property, and Austin Life Care offers the same services as Planned Parenthood, minus the abortions. That bid was ignored. Now, Planned Parenthood has been receiving this advantage since 1972, and thanks to this city council, that could go on for another 40 years. So it is fair to say that this Planned Parenthood clinic is costing taxpayers millions of dollars. This on top of the millions of taxpayer dollars Planned Parenthood receives a year, $500 million this calendar year, $1.5 billion over the last 3 years, yet this clinic needs free rent. Before I ask this city council to justify this decision, which goes against millions of Texans' spiritual, religious, and political beliefs, I will point out what to me is criminal pay-for-play activity happening between the Democrats, some of which are on this city council, mind you, you identify as Democrats, and Planned Parenthood. In 2018, according to FEC filings and Open Secrets reports, the following Texas Democrats in Congress received campaign contributions from Planned Parenthood. Alred Collin, $1,500. Gina Jones, $3,000. Joseph Cosper, $1,500. Sylvia Garcia, $2,500. Lizzie Fletcher, $2,200. Joaquin Castro, $1,000. So if this is untrue, I'm waiting to hear these Democrats disavow it. Or I think this requires I file a federal complaint. How can any entity that requires, that receives government money be contributing to campaigns specifically to only one party? So, not to mention the millions of beating hearts stopped by Planned Parenthood every year. They receive billions of dollars in taxpayer funds. They contribute politically to only the Democrat Party, and this city council decides to give them free rent. We just voted to expand government spending in Austin. We can't afford giving millions of dollars away in free rent, let alone to Planned Parenthood, when a similar organization offered to pay a fair price. So I ask, and I'd like to get an answer today from this city council, how do you justify the decision to allow Planned Parenthood to rent in this city for free?
Oligarchs!
And that's funny to Mr. Renteria. Do you realize that Planned Parenthood has admitted that they stopped beating hearts and we're going to fund that? So there's no comment from this city council. Mayor Adler, can you justify that decision for the city of Austin?
It's your time. Thank you.
Your time is up. Your time is up. There's some oligarchs. There's some oligarchs.
Mr. Clinton.
There's some oligarchs.
After Mr. Clinton.
Here's my question. Isn't Owen doing what the church ought to do? Isn't Owen Schroyer doing what the church ought to do? Hey, Lowell, these boots were made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. What is wrong with us? Why do we passively sit back and take this stuff? God bless Owen Schroyer. He got more. Hey, Rod, let's load up your pastor, that big mega church. Let's take him down there and stand with Owen. He'd wet his pants. He'd need a diaper. Somebody help me,
Coach. The Christians never sign up for the 3 minutes.
No, they don't want to. No. And see, Owen Schroyer, folks. Please understand this. Owen Schroyer spoke with authority. Why? Because he's a man under authority. And he understood that what they're doing is a violation of the ultimate authority. He said, I want to know why you do that. And you know what? The oligarchs couldn't give a crap. They don't care. They're going to do what they're going to do because they just have fooled us into believing that we have a democratic form of government. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
All right. Hey. Winding down, a lot to talk about, a lot I didn't get to. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task. Men, rise up and make her great. Boys and girls, dig in. Lowell, thank you for those boots. I'm spinning them right now like a batter stepping into the batter's box, taking my cleats and grinding them in, Loyal. Because I ain't backing down, baby. We're going to go take some ground. God bless you. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow. See you on Monday.